Amen.
Do you love him this morning? Amen. Such a wonderful privilege to be able to come back out this morning. Let's all stand, if you will. We bow our heads. Heavenly Father, Lord, we're again thankful, Lord. Yes. Every opportunity we have to come, may we take full advantage of it, Lord. Father, come in these doors and with our hearts prepared to receive. And Lord, I pray that you would just bless everyone that's made the effort to come. Lord, and strengthen us. Encourage us, Lord. Look in our hearts, Father. Is there something there, Lord, that we need to have molded into your image? A little more, Father. Just bless us. Lord, I ask that you would just have your way in every phase, every word that's spoken this morning, from the songs that are sung, Lord, to the speaking of thy word. Lord, just may you get the glory and honor in everything. And we'll give you the glory and honor in your precious holy name, the Lord Jesus Christ. Amen. Thank you, Lord Jesus. You may be seated. He's wonderful. Amen. Turn with me if you would. I'd like to sing on page, in our big books, on page 233. Unworthy. Amen. Truly what he's done for us, saints, there's no way to earn it. Amen. Unworthy am I of the grace that he gave. Unworthy to hold to his hand. Amazed that a king would reach down to a slave. This love I cannot understand.
Hallelujah, Lord Jesus,
unworthy.
his grace, saints. Hallelujah. Page 705, turn with me. Amen. Give him all you have, saints. He's worthy of it all. Have you longed for sweet peace and for faith to increase and have earnestly, fervently prayed? But you cannot have rest or be perfectly blessed until on the altar is made. Is your on the altar a sacrifice laid? Your heart does the Spirit control? You can only be blessed and have peace and sweet rest as you yield him your body and soul. Would you walk with the Lord in the light of his word and have peace and contentment always? You must do his sweet will to be free from all ill. On the altar your all you must lay. Is your all on the altar a sacrifice laid? Your heart does the Spirit control? You must only be blessed and have peace and sweet rest as you yield him your body and soul. Oh, we never can know what the Lord will bestow of the blessings for which we have prayed, till our body and soul he doth fully control and our all on the altar is laid. Is your all on the altar a sacrifice laid? Your heart doth the Spirit control? You can only be blessed and have peace and sweet rest as you yield him your body and soul. Who can tell all the love he will send from above, and how happy our hearts will be made of the fellowship sweet we shall share at his feet when our all on sweet rest as you yield him your body and soul. Amen. Oh, yield everything you are to him. It's just a reasonable service for what he's done for us. Amen. Page 203. Nothing between. Let's sing that for you. Amen.
Nothing between my soul and the Savior. Not of this world's delusive dream. Jesus is my life. There's nothing between. Oh, nothing between my soul and the Savior. So between in many hard trials. Though the whole world against me can be, watching with prayer and triumph at last, with nothing between, oh, nothing between my soul and the Savior. So in the least of his favor, out of the way clear, let nothing between.
Amen. Keep the way clear. Surrender everything you are to him. Amen, all saints. Truly, it's reasonable. Reasonable service, as Paul said. Amen, he's wonderful. Amen. Brother Luke, could you come up for the offering? That's the blessing, if you will. Amen. Make me more like thee, dear Jesus.
Make me more like thee, Jesus. Make me more like thee. Oh, give me a Jesus, make me more like thee. Oh, give me a heart that's filled with love, and make me more like.
Praise his name. That's my prayer, my desire. I may have a request for him. Amen. Just hold it on your heart. Brother Amos, would you take the request this morning?
Your kind and gracious Heavenly Father, Lord, it's been said already, you are so thankful for this opportunity to be here. Lord, to gather in my temple, brothers and sisters, my precious friends, to receive what you have for us this morning. Lord, there's many missing this morning. Lord, we just have written in prayer.
Yes.
Lord, ask that you heal our bodies, bless them, or whatever you do, Lord. Lord, each one that raised their hands in the front of me, Lord, you know what's behind it before they ever raised it. We commit it into thy hands, Lord, ask that you bless it according to thy purpose, Lord. Lord, we just commit the remainder of the service into thy hands. Lord, have your way in everything that's said. Lord.
Yes, Father.
We ask in thy precious name, Lord Jesus Christ.
Amen. Praise his name. You may be seated. Amen. Praise his name. Would you have a song this morning? All right. Would anyone else have a song? Or? have something on your heart? All right, let's just stand then, if you will. We'll just sing a little chorus. Amen. Lord, I believe. Let's sing it together.
Lord, I believe. Lord, I believe. All things are possible. Lord, I believe.
Precious Lord, we've truly gathered here today with open hearts and come expecting you to speak to us. And Lord, we just are hungry, Lord, that you would continue to open up yourself to us. And Lord, though I may be so feeble in my attempts, Lord, to bring your word, but Lord, we want to look into your scriptures, Lord, and what you've already presented. And Lord, just take my feeble mouth, Lord, and just speak to our hearts in a way that would do something, Lord, to help us draw a little closer to you, climb a little higher, Lord, and press a little harder. Lord, that we would be exactly what you would have us be in this day. For, Lord, we see the end coming and we see things winding up, Lord, and we want to be sure and certain that we are standing exactly where you would have us be. Just exactly that spotless little bride, Lord, waiting in love for your coming. Lord, we just ask your blessings upon your word now, Lord, and anoint my lips that I would speak only that would be pleasing to you, and we ask it all in the lovely, precious name of the Lord Jesus Christ. We ask these things. Amen. Let's sing that little chorus, I Love Him, while we're still standing. Amen. Just worship him this morning.
I love him.
Precious. Amen. To think that he first loved me. Amen. While you're still standing, I'm going to turn, if you would with me, turn to 2 Peter in the 3rd chapter. Just read a small portion of scripture here. Amen. Hallelujah. We're going to have to tell our pastor he's not allowed to take these too many of these breaks. Amen. The Lord knows he must need a little break, a little rest. You know, it's sometimes, that's the way sometimes a pastor only gets a break is sometimes the Lord has to maybe intervene a little bit and say, just rest for a little bit. And if that's what God wants, maybe that's why the Lord let him catch a little cold there, then that's what we want to do is give him rest. Amen. I just thank the Lord for everything that he's doing for us. You know, everything happens for a reason and a time and a place. And nothing happens that God didn't know it was going to happen. And though we've gathered here this morning, we've gathered here for one purpose, and that's to have the to look into the Word and let the Word speak to our hearts. It's not what I've got to say, but just by the renewing of our minds, as Peter says here, let's just read this, the 3rd chapter and the 1st verse. This second epistle, beloved, I now write unto you in both which I stir up your pure minds by way of remembrance, that ye may be mindful of the words which were spoken before by the holy prophets and of the commandments of the apostles of the Lord and Savior. May the Lord bless and redeem his word, and you may be seated. Amen. And that's why we're here this morning. And I'm going to turn back over to Romans, the 12th chapter, and read those two verses again this morning that I read Thursday evening. Amen. I beseech you therefore, brethren, Romans 12, 1 and 2, I beseech you therefore, brethren, by the mercies of God, that ye present your bodies a living sacrifice, holy and acceptable unto God, which is your reasonable service. And be not conformed to this world, but be ye transformed by the renewing of your mind, that ye may prove what is that good, acceptable, and perfect will of God. And this morning, I just want to, as we read that, he's not speaking here to the church, but take it personally. He's beseeching you, me, each one of us as an individual. I'm not here with my wife. I'm not here with my husband. I'm not here as a family. I'm not here as a group of a church gathered together, but I am here as an individual, and Paul is saying, I beseech Amen. You, each one of us, Amen. Brethren, that you, by the mercies of God, that you present your body, not your wife's body, not your husband, but your body, you as an individual, it's who he's speaking to. And he's telling each one of us, be not conformed to this world, but be ye transformed by the renewing of your mind. And I just, thinking on these things and as we spoke Thursday evening on a few things and seeing more how the world, Satan, has entered in and being a deformer and trying to, everything he can, trying to deform that little bride and entering in and trying to take away from here. And it happens, this the little foxes that eats the vine, as we were saying. And as even as our brother mentioned after service, you know, I was just using television as how it has become, it was used as a tool and become so corrupt. And how he mentioned the internet and how we see. And you know, I was something, I seen something this weekend, and it was a picture of a youth camp back in 1998. And it was one of the first ones where they started telling the girls they had to wear denim skirts and or jumpers to come to the youth camps. And I just thought how there was somebody that decided they were going to go and they weren't going to wear those things. And it just kind of stood out for a purpose. But the point of it was, is it looked how it started out as a right thing. They thought, well, we'll make you wear denim because it's heavy and it'll hang and we don't have to, you don't worry about dresses flying up and this when they're participating in things. It was a right motive behind what they thought. But then look how Satan got in it, and then look where it's at today with the jean skirts and all this taking place. It looked like a good idea. Men thought it was going to work, and look where it went. But Satan got in it and he took it. And then it started as, well, let's bring a hairdresser in and let's fix, show the girls how to fix their hair. And it just kept on and kept on until it got into, it's okay to trim it just a little bit. But Satan is getting into everything, deforming, trying to take away that God won't have a bride in this last day. But he said that he would have a bride that would not fail. Amen. And that's what we're interested in, because by God's grace, that's where I see my name. That's where I want to be found, is on that side. And by the renewing of my mind, I'm going to be transformed by God's grace to be, by the hearing of the word and by faith and understanding of what he'll give us, our bodies and lives will change. And I'd just like to read here in the message identification, and as our pastor has been bringing on the true worshiper and the things, and that's where we want to find ourselves. That's why we're here. That's why we come to hear the word. And I said, we don't come here as a family. We don't come here as a group, but we're here as individuals. My husband may never want to be a true worshiper. He may always want to keep one foot in the world and one foot in the church to keep fellowship or whatever. My wife may want to keep one foot in the church, one foot in the world. My mother, my father, it don't matter, but we're here as individuals, and we're here that God is speaking to me. Mm-hmm. Out of this whole group, he might only take three of us. But who's it going to be? Do I feel that burning in my heart that, Lord, I want it to be me? If no one else goes, Lord, if I have to walk alone and leave this behind and that has to fall off, Lord, is it going to be me? But I'd like to read here, and this is in the message identification preached January 23rd, 1963. And I'm going to start, I'll try not to read too much here, but just to kind of catch where he's talking at, I want to start at paragraph 80 on page 13. He was sinless by nature, and the only thing he could project was the sinless God, Word. The Word being God, and the Word they thought expressed. And when God thought of parent, he expressed his thought, and Christ was God's expression. Amen. You see, he was God's expression that God could be us and live as we live, yet expressing perfectly what the perfect person should be perfectly. He was God's Word expressed and properly vindicated and identified. And when he stood here on earth, he said, if I do not the works of my Father, then don't believe me. And he said, which one of you can accuse me of sin? I would like to open that up just a little bit, if it is permissible. You see, sin is unbelief. There's only two things, channels, that you can live by. One of them is faith, and the other one is unbelief. And he that believeth not is condemned already, smoking, drinking, committing adultery, lying, stealing, carnal impersonation. Those things are attributes of unbelief. If you was a believer, you wouldn't do those things. No, you do that because you're not a believer. Amen. Now, he used smoking, drinking, the main big things that we see. But now you can read right into that anything that's contrary to the Word of God. Amen. If I don't obey my husband, I'm in that same category right there. Amen. If I'm a husband and I don't love my wife, I fall into that same category right there. Every word, every commandment of God that's in this scripture, you can put onto that line right there. Because if you're not living it, it means you don't believe it and it's not being partaker in your life. And that's what we want to see, because that true worshiper is going to be an image of Jesus Christ 100%. In this day, he will have the full preeminence of that body and that little bride. And she is going to be an absolute reflection of his character in this day. And that's what we want to see, that this word, this Bible, that we have became a written epistle, and that it is a reflection, not just something we can read off the page and we can tell everyone else about it, how it ought to be and what it should be, but it's got to be a reflection in my life, in your life, as individuals this morning. As I said, keep in mind, we're individuals, and I've got to have that reflection. My husband may come along, if I'm a wife, and he may say, it's okay for us to do this, and we're going to do this and this and this. But as a wife, maybe as following the Lord, I feel in my heart that that's just not right. That's contrary. What are you going to do? Are you just going, well, it's my husband, I got to obey him? Or are you going to look to God and begin to pray and to cry, Lord, this is not my desire, Lord, what's wrong? Or it could be vice versa. Maybe the wife doesn't care, and she just wants to go do this all the time and take you this and let's do this and that. And then the husband's on the other side. Lord, what am I going to do? I don't want that in my home, Lord. I don't want her to act like that. But would we have enough in us that if I found myself in either side, would I go to God in prayer? Or if I'm a wife, would I just say, that's a contrary and I ain't doing it, just and get all sassy about it? Or would I really take the Christian attitude and just cry out to God, Lord, help my husband. Lord, help my wife. Help my son, daughter, whoever it is in this situation. Or would I just want to bully my way through? Well, this is what the Word says. This is how it's got to be. Or would I go to God first and get an answer? But a lot of times we don't wait on an answer for anything, even how we should respond to someone. But we should always wait upon an answer from the Lord in every situation. As he goes on here, he says, but you do that because you're not a believer. But by their fruits you shall know them. Your actions speak louder than what your confessions prove, see? When you disbelieve God's word and count it as something gone by, or take a book and instead saying this is just as good as that, it goes to show that you're not a believer. You're not. And if you was, then you would believe God's word and he would express himself through his word. Now he was God's word expressed. And he said, now if you can't believe me, believe the works that I do. Search the scriptures, for in them you think you have eternal life. That's the very thing that tells who I am. Oh, I wonder if the... He says, oh, I wonder, that's the one that says who I am. The scriptures tells who I am. And let me take that a little farther, will you? The scriptures is what tells what you are. That expresses you, and it expresses me. And the scriptures tell what we are. It's so loud that our voice can't even be heard. Our life speaks louder than our voice, see? And it's God's way of letting us see what we are. And that's why it's so important just to take this word. Growing up through life, you come in contact with many things. You come in contact with many people. And we've all been, most of us has been raised in church of one sort of another. And we've heard this idea. This is okay. And this is why I feel it's all right. We can partake of this certain thing. But did anybody ever stop to consult the word and what the scriptures say about that situation? And that's where it got off, because people got away from the scriptures. And as long as my pastor says that's okay, I'm going to do it. As long as my daddy says it's all right, I'm going to do it. As long as my husband says I can do this, I'm going to do it. And the word never got consulted in any percentage. But there is individuals on this earth that their goal and their whole objective of life is going to be to match this scripture 100%. Yeah. Not what daddy says, not what my husband says, not what some pastor said, but what the word says is in my heart and in my life. And oftentimes that's why they didn't consult the word. They knew what the word said about it. But the pastor was okay with it, so we'll consult with him. And if he says it's okay, then we'll do it. And that's why they didn't want the true answer that was handed down to them. And maybe some little brother sitting over here, Denny's heart, he had a revelation, and I'm not being partaker of that thing. But yet, the majority will follow whatever got said or what everybody else does. But there is individuals, and that's why that little bride's going to shine so great. Is because we're living in an age where gross darkness has come. But let one little bride get a revelation of this precious word, and her life is going to shine so bright. And shine out the glory of God, that what he said he would do, he can do. That little bride will be without spot or wrinkle. He said, the scriptures express us. Our life speaks louder than our voice. See, it's God's way of letting us see what we are. And Jesus said the same thing. They are they that testify of me. They prove what I am. And which one of you can condemn me of unbelief? I am talking about looking at yourself. If I haven't been properly identified myself as being what the word said I would be. And I wonder if we Christians could think that tonight. Wonder if we can look into God's looking glass of what requirements is of a Christian and identify ourselves that way. I wonder if we could. I wonder if we can identify ourselves tonight with John 3:16 and all these other scriptures, Mark 16th chapter, and all these other places that over in Galatians, I believe, in different places, 2 Thessalonians, where the fruits of the Spirit and so forth, I wonder if we can identify ourselves. And each one of us can pick this scripture up and begin to read. And we should be able to identify ourselves in those pages. In every aspect, we should be able to see that in our life. In the consecration, a dedicated life, pray always with and cease not, rejoice with a thanksgiving. Can we look into any of these scriptures? And find myself, or do I find myself lacking? Where do I, the fruits of the Spirit. If we lack any of these things, Paul said, we're blind and can't see afar off. But oh, are we weighing everything? So much focus in this message got put on. Do you believe the seals? Do you believe this message? Do you believe that message? Yes, I'll agree with that message. Yes, I'll agree with this message. They don't agree with it. I ain't have nothing to do with them. But the focus was the life of Jesus Christ that was to come from this message. And that's what we should be focused in on is, oh, I believe all the mysteries. And I believe, but the mystery should be manifesting and bringing about that change in our bodies. That when something is transformed, Brother Branham said it is to change it. And he used the example of a tadpole. It looks like a catfish, he said, with a little flat head and a tail, but when it changes to a frog, there's no more resemblance left of that tadpole. And that's the way a born-again believer is. When your life, when you come in contact with the baptism of the Holy Ghost, the characters that we used to be should be no more. should be gone. The things we once cherished and loved, our attitudes, our appetites, our drives, as our brother has brought it out, should all be changed. And the identification that should be in our life is, my affections are set on things above. And it shows out through my life where my affections are, where my mind is collected. My conversation is holy and godly, as the scripture says. Let your conversation be. Let's just read it. Hey, amen. So I don't misquote it. It's in 2 Peter there. All manner of. Let me see here. Hey, amen. 2 Peter there. It was just on down from where I originally read. And he says, seeing then that all these things shall be dissolved, what manner of persons you ought to be in all holy conversation and godliness, looking for and hasting unto the coming day of God. Do we pay that much attention to our conversations? Or because the world is so wrapped up in things, we begin to let some of their conversations slide into ours. And we begin to take their attitude and their views on things. That's Satan's objective, to get whatever he can slide in, any place he can get in. But that's why the scripture tells us to pray always, to study, be sober, be vigilant. Keep your mind collected to the word, that we wouldn't let these things happen. And we're seeing that day come where we must make sure we're standing right before God. Maybe we've been living loosely. Maybe we've let things down. Maybe we wasn't worshiping the way we should have. Maybe I had let the world cares get into my life and I kind of lost my objective of where I was headed. But the Lord has been bringing the word back, trying to show us he is seeking such to worship him in spirit and in truth in all things, that their life would be totally in tune with his word. And do we see this? And do we see the cry of the Holy Spirit trying to line us up? And do we want to get in line? Or we just, it was another message, and I'm just going to live the way I want to live. But there's got to be an identification coming forth now. For what you are here, as our brother just said, you will be over there. And we want to make sure that every word is lining up here now just the way it should be. This is in the message, Perfect Faith, August 25th, 1963, page 12, paragraph 72. Now the identification of a scripture Christian, these words, said Jesus, these signs shall follow them that believe. Now how can you call yourself a believer, a people, and deny those words? How can you call yourself a believer and deny any of this word? You can't do it. You're not a believer. These signs can't follow you because you accept what you want to believe and let the rest of it go. You don't believe it, but you've got to take the whole thing. And we can see people doing this. We see people that claim to be believers deciding to, I don't want this part and I don't want that part. But we want to bring it down and make sure that it's not just a little fox that we're not wanting to take, or something that we're letting go in our life, but we want to bring it back to the full word, the entire word of God, as our brother has said, is coming alive within our hearts. And that's my goal. He says, you can accept. Oh, could you compare the Christians today with them Christians of long ago? How them disciples walked in the power of his spirit, moved by the Holy Ghost. Just a prisoner, as I preached the other night. A prisoner to the word and will of God. He couldn't even move until God moved him. Wouldn't you like to see a church rise like that? Oh, it's coming back. It's coming. That's right. And it's on road now. For the word identified him, himself, of what he was. And the word identifies us. And we're supposed to be. That if time would go on, the life that we're living today, they would write another book of Acts behind it. Because we're in that bride. That Brother Branham said, if ever put out another, they would be able to write a book of Acts behind that little bride. And we're that people. We're part of that people. Is my life that tune of the Holy Spirit as it was on the day of Pentecost? Can I look back into the book of Acts and see the way they were, the drive, the fire that they had in their heart? Do I see that in my life? Do I see that longing to be exactly what Jesus Christ wants me to be? Or is it just I pick it up on Sundays and I pick it up on Thursday and through the week and never think about it? But is it an everyday thing that Jesus Christ be the all in all in my life? Do I see it that strong? Here in the message, the token, this is preached 9163. And the Holy Ghost is our identification. It's what identifies us as Christians. Not our membership in churches and not our understanding of the Bible. Not how much you know about the Bible. It's how much you know about the author, see, and how much the author is living in you. And that's the key, saints. Many people can quote the scriptures. Many people can quote the message. Many people can tell you all of these things. But is it living in them? Is there a living identification that the Holy Spirit is housed and dwelled up in them? That the same fire that was right there is inside your heart burning and living. Jesus Christ the same yesterday, today, and forever. He was the pillar of fire with the children of Israel. He was the pillar of fire in the upper room when he separated himself and come back as cloven tongues of fire. The same fire right there, Jesus Christ, that same God is dwelling within us. Supposed to be doing the same works that the word that he was here to vindicate is proven exactly right. But oh, we ought to, do we see it that real? Am I really looking, or have I just been so caught up in being a churchgoer and being a member of a religious organization, or so to speak, that I have missed what God really called me here to be? But oh my, the Holy Ghost is that identification. That is why it is so important to have the baptism of the Holy Ghost, to be sure that I am born again. Because that Holy Ghost in there is the only way this body will bear works and fruits that shows that he is alive and dwelling within me. It's the only thing that'll tame my tongue. It's the only thing that'll bring my eyes under subjection to his word. It's the only thing that'll bring my ears under subjection to listen to only what I should listen to. That's why it must be in our life. That's what it's going to take in this last day. Amen. This is in the message, Jesus Christ is the mystery of God revealed. And this was preached July 28, 1963. Remember, think of it, that a people born of his spirit, this is page 65, paragraph 482. Remember, think of it, that a people born of his spirit in a day like this, in this great denominational age that we live, the living God takes his living word and vindicates it personally. This life that's in the word, the germ that's in the seed, and the word is a seed that the sower went forth to sow, and the life is Christ in the word personally in you, vindicating something that you cannot do, proving himself that it's not you, but it's him. And you've become one, a love slave to him, a bride. And his presence in the individual with a personal vindication of himself, expressing himself, the living word that's promised for the day, expressing itself through you, a vindication of the great revelation of God. And look, it's only in an individual, never in a group, an individual, not in a group. His identification is with an individual. Do you get it? And that's where we must focus down as individual saints and make sure that each one of us is bearing the marks in our body of the Lord Jesus Christ. That he is the all in all. For this is the day that you are to know that I am in you, the Father, and you're in me. And I and my Father are one. This is that day, saints. It should be a greater reality in our hearts and in our lives. And as I said, Satan is going about as a roaring lion. He's trying all he can do to take away, to intervene, to take a little of this, take a little of that. It's okay to indulge over here. Take a little more of this. Oh, this won't be bad. And it's just, it's a continuation. He's just working in new ways. He's trying to find something here, something there, to keep injecting, to try to keep fighting, to keep God from rejecting his purpose. But it's going to happen, for he said he would have a bride that would not fail. Amen. And I want to be one of them that's on fire, a true worshiper, a worship burning in my heart for what he's done for me. And as our brother has brought that out so beautifully over the last few services, how that should just be pulsating in our hearts, greater than it ever has before. And if it's not, then we're not getting a revelation of it. And that's what we've lacked so many times. We've heard the word and we said amen. We agreed with it, but we didn't get the revelation that God was trying to bring to us. We missed it. But oh, may we cry out to God that we won't be forgetful hearers but doers of the word. And that we'll sit here with open hearts like a sponge and take it in and drink it in, that that word will become alive and a real living manifestation in our hearts. Amen. Let me see here. I thought I had. Amen. This is in the message. Let me just make sure. We'll just catch this. This is in the message Harvest Time. This was preached December 12th, 1964, page 32, about paragraph 210. That's one of the words for the Bible. Let me back up. So today it's the pottage. Mix the church and world together. Some of each one. Bingo parties, dances, all kinds of carrying on in the church. Short-haired women wearing shorts. There again. Oh, we don't have none of that in our church. But is there one small thing of the world I want to mix? You can put it on that same line. And that's where we've got to bring it back to a reality. It's not, well, the preacher didn't say nothing about what I'm doing. It's okay. But you know, if in your heart you know, I'm doing this certain thing, but I sure wouldn't tell no one, and I sure wouldn't want no one to know, then it's something's wrong if you can't put it in the open. Because in that little bride's heart, there's nothing hid. Jesus Christ sees all things, whether you tell it or not. But if you have that thought that you wouldn't want someone to know about it, there's something wrong. There's a reason. That's what causes that little bit of condemnation down on the inside when you come into worship. And it's, oh, but, oh, it's right there. Then it's fresh. Satan's right there then trying to, oh, you know you're wrong. You know you're wrong. Get outside church. Oh, you ought to do this. You ought to do this. But he uses it to his advantage in both ways. But we must get to where our minds are collected to the Word, and we have the mind of Christ. That when we come in here to worship, there is nothing burdening me down. There is no condemnation. And I know that I am open. And that he has seen not just me here at the service, but he's seen me all week long. He knows the thoughts that was in my mind. He knows where I've been. And I can come in here with a sure, total assurance that if I did make a mistake, that it's under the blood. And that I stand here. I am identified with my sacrifice. And that blood's covering me as I stand here. But he says, Brother Branham, what's that little thing? That's one of the words. For the Bible said it's wrong for a woman to cut her hair. That's right. And if she does, how's she going to get in? That's right. She just ask any preacher will tell you the word says that. She dishonors her head, dishonors her husband. She should be divorced. That's exactly right. For she that will cut her hair, let me drop one down here. He says, well, what good if you're going to do all the rest of them and leave that go? What? There is just a little bit of that worldly style into you trying to act just a little bit like the other churches. That's exactly where Israel got into trouble. And that's where they die. That's where Adam got into trouble. That's where all the rest of them got into trouble. Just one word, that's all it takes. Just one point, pottage, mixed with the world, and some of the world, some of Hollywood, some of the church, some theologians, and what have you got? You can't mix it with anything. It's got to go back to being 100% the Word. And we've seen it all our life, saints. It was mixed with creeds, mixed with ideas, mixed here, mixed there. And we've got to make sure that we're going back to the Word and that we're not holding on to something that was mixed into the Word of God. But our lives is what this Scripture said it should be. And it's lining up 100%. Not taking anything. Maybe we've met many people along our lives that's been helpful to us, that's helped us grow, molded a character in us along the way. Somewhere we learned this from this person and that. And God lets people come in our paths, but nevertheless, we're following God, not man ever. And we must make sure that it's God that is totally molding my character today. If something was molded into me as a child, if it's contrary to that Word of God, then it's got to go and it's got to be back to what the Word said. If my dad done something a certain way, if I can't find where that's totally like Jesus Christ and lining up with that Word, then I've got to turn and go another direction with it. And each one of us has got to see it that way. I don't just do this because that's the way my family's always done it. I do this because that's the way my dad always done it. I do this because my mom always done it this way. My mom ran her house like this. She was a housewife and she did this. She took care of this side of it and she let all this other stuff go. No, it's got to go back to the Word. What's the Word say that a housewife is? What's the Word say that a husband is? What's the Word say a father is? A man would be in this age. This day, what is the bride of Jesus Christ to be? That's where it's got to go back to. Not, well, that's the way I was raised. That's the way I'm going to do it. You got to get rid of our ideas and human flesh. We're not of this world. Amen. And we're not to be like it in any shape nor form. But we were sent here as delegates from heaven. And on the inside of us, we house a portion of the Lord Jesus Christ himself. Amen. May we truly be honest to our calling. Be honest to God with everything that's in us to be exactly what he would have us be. Hey, man, this is in the message, Choosing of a Bride, April 29th, 1965. You sisters can come to the instruments if you would. This is page 12. I'm going to start here about 79 so you can get a look. But you know you have to plan, look, and pray when you're choosing. For we see by the word of promise, she's a bride that a man would choose is going to reflect his character and it reflects what's in him. Now, could you imagine a man filled with the Holy Ghost take something like that to be a wife? I just don't see it, brother. Maybe I'm just an old crank, but you know, I can't understand that. See, notice, for it's going to reflect what's in him. And she is going to help him make his future home. Now then, when we change back now for a moment to the spiritual side, when we see a church that's in the world, acts like the world, anticipating in the world, partaking of the world, counting God's commandments as if he never had wrote them, then you can just imagine Christ ain't going to take a bride like that. Can you imagine taking the modern church today for a bride? Not my Lord. I could hardly see that. No, remember, now a man and his wife are one. Would you join yourself to a person like that? If you would, it would certainly kind of disappoint my faith in you. Then how about God joining himself to something like that, a regular denominational prostitute? Do you think he would do it? Having a form of godliness but denying the power thereof, he would never do it. She must have his character in her. The real, true, born-again church, individuals, each one of us, the real, true, born-again church must have the character that was in Christ because the husband and wife are one. I have to have the same character he's got because I am a reflection of him. And if I don't have that character, then something's wrong in my life. And it's time to cry out and say, Lord, make me what you would have me be. Get off of our high horse, if so to speak, and think that, oh, I know all the prophet said, and I know this word front and backwards, but is that author living in you? Do I see that when I come in? Am I that true worshiper? Am I that true worshiper every day when I'm out of this building? Is there spiritual hymns and songs upon my heart? Am I making melody in my heart to the Lord? That's word. That's scripture. I don't have to do that. But he said that little bride would. That's wrote right there. That's his character. Praising him, making melody, or making love to him in the spirit, back to him. Oh, saints, it's got to be a reality. Have we truly seen it as a reality in our hearts and lives of that we're not just serving church, we're not just going to church, but we're fixing to be a rapture, and that little bride is going to be caught away. Yes. All the things this world has come up with, the movies out of Hollywood and all the stuff you see on the news, they think is bad. Wait till the tribulation period hits. It ain't going to be a drop in the bucket to it. And by God's grace, he give me a ticket out of here. Amen. And by God's grace, I want to make sure that I'm true to the ticket that he give me. He's in all that he's prepared for that little bride. I don't want to be left here. I don't want to be caught in that mess. But by God's grace, I've been predestinated to walk on streets of gold. And the half has not yet been told, he said. My, may we truly be hungry to be exactly what God wants us to be. Let's all stand, if you would. Amen. I pray that somewhere you was able to take something from it this morning. Something to encourage you, maybe press on a little harder. But saints, there's a real truth, and there's a realness to the baptism of the Holy Spirit. There is a genuine power of the Holy Spirit and the Holy Ghost. It's alive. He's here this morning. I can feel his presence and know he's here. And he's walking through the building to meet any need any of us have. He's longing. He knows who he's called. He knows who he's looking for in this building tonight. And if there's something in your heart that's pecking, calling, I haven't been that person. I haven't been transformed. I've been more conformed to the world than I have transformed to his image. Then it's time to give it all to the Lord and truly let God take us in his hands. Yes. And make us what he would have us be. Amen. Let's just sing that little chorus, Amazing Grace, and we'll ask Brother Philip to come dismiss us.
Amazing grace, how sweet the sound that saved a wretch like me. I once was lost, but now
tonight. Thank you for his amazing grace, saints. When you see where we've been and the many times we've stumbled, the many times we fail and not been what he wanted us to be, but by mercy and grace, he's right there to bring chastisement when it's needed. Bring whatever it takes to put us back on the path that he wanted us to walk. Amazing grace, how sweet the sound. Amen. Sing it again, Brother Philip, come dismiss us.
Amazing grace, how sweet the sound that saved a wretch like me. I once was lost, but
appreciate, amen, Brother Timothy. I can see him growing. Amen. Praise his name. I've seen him grow and grow and grow. And I just pray that God has continued to bless him. And I realize today that many wonder, some of these young people and maybe some of the other ones, they wonder why. How do I know whether or not I have the Holy Spirit? Amen. And if that Holy Spirit dwells within you, it'll change your life. Amen. You won't be what you used to be. Amen. These young people, they might have used to got mad at their mommy and daddy and get upset about things. And they might have got mad at their friends they play with or something, want to punch them out or whatever. And you might want to talk about them, run them down, and ridicule them and all that. Amen. And those that are older, you might have used to done this and done that. And if your desire is still to do those things, you haven't been born again yet. Amen. You got to have that nature change. You got to have that soul change. So your desires have changed, and you're not what you used to be. You might have used to talk on the job about this, that, and the other, but now you don't talk about that stuff. And the things that the men talk about on the job, amen, you don't get right on with them and talk about it. Amen. You want to talk about Christ. You want to live like Christ lived. Amen. And that's the thing we've got to be concerned about. If we look at our lives and we're still living the same way we did before we repented of our sins and got baptized in his name, if there's nothing about us has changed, we haven't been born again yet. Amen. You need to seek the Lord. Cry out to him. Amen. Blessed be his holy name. Let's bow our head. Heavenly Father, we're just glad to be here this morning. We thank you for your word, Lord. And we can see, Lord, that my God, the thing you desire in our lives, Lord, is that we might be transformed by the renewing of our minds. That our minds don't think the way it used to, Lord. We don't lust after the things we used to lust. We don't desire the things of the world like we used to desire. We don't want to do the things that we used to do, Lord. Oh, God, but our desire is to be like you, Lord, and to love you so much, dear God, that we'd be willing, Lord, to lay down our lives, Lord, to come to it, Lord. We'd love you so much, Lord. My God, that we'd be willing, Lord, to die for you. My God, as we go from this place of worship today, Lord, my God, I pray our desire be to be like Christ. Lord, that our minds, Lord, to be transformed in desire to be like your word, Lord, to live like your word tells us we should live, Lord. And we pray, Father, today for those that are sick and afflicted, Lord. We pray that you reach down and touch the body, Lord. My God, make it possible, Lord, they'd be able to be back in service with us, Lord. not, Lord, to receive your word. And we pray, Father, that you would meet every need here this morning, Lord. If some have a material need, we pray that you'd move in such a way in their lives, my God, that material need to be met. We pray now you dismiss us from this building, but not for your presence, Lord. And may we give you the glory and the honor and the praise, Lord, for all things. We ask in the name of the Lord Jesus Christ, we pray. Amen. Listen to his name. You're dismissed.
Amen.
You want to say that chorus one more time?
Amen.
Amen.
Amen.